Mum sobs, and that makes Glynn cry harder. Dad strokes her shoulder. Astrid, get it together, please.
I'm sorry.
She drags in a heavy breath and faces me on a long exhale.
I'll never forgive myself for bringing her into our lives, for not seeing the signs and even pushing you to make her your agent, for not being there for you.
No, Mum, no. I cut her off. You were always there for me. Always. You respected my decisions and choices and never pushed me to do anything I didn't want to do. I'm the one who hid myself. I'm the one who decided not to say anything. I never, never blamed you, so please, don't do that. Please.
I can't.
Fresh tears flow out of her.
I just can't help thinking that if it wasn't for me...
Don't. I shake my head. Don't say that, please. That's what I used to tell myself day in and day out. I used to think that if it wasn't for me, this family would be perfect. I don't want to hear you having those thoughts as well. Brandon, son. Dad sits beside Mum and they both grip my hand tight. This family can't exist without you. You understand?
I don't want it without you.
Mum says on a sob.
Yeah, Bran.
Glynn strokes my cheek, eyes glittering with unshed tears.
I can only be here because of your care and understanding. You've helped me countless times. I wouldn't have gotten here without you. So please, please, let us help you this time.
Let us be your family, Dad says. And I can't control the tear that slides down my cheek. All this time, I thought I was the decay of a perfect family. My ludicrous jealousy and inferiority complex toward Lan ate me alive, and I let it consume me, which led me to Grace. Things took a nosedive into disaster after that. The worse my mental state got, the harder I fought to remain afloat. The more sinister my demons became, the more insistent I was about my mantra of avoiding and pretending. At some point, my mind turned on me and I became my own worst enemy. Through it all, I grasped at straws, fighting and struggling to keep belonging to this family I was lucky to be born into. I thought if they saw me as a weakling, as the man who said yes, then denied it and claimed to be wronged, they'd be disappointed. I thought if they saw me as someone who was not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, they'd turn their backs on me. But as I look at their faces, at the grief mixed with relief, I know without a shadow of a doubt that was never the case. I let dark thoughts infest my head and drag me into the black hole of self-hatred. And in doing that, I failed to see just how much I mean to these people. How the thought of losing me has left them shell-shocked and unrecognizable. I never thought my larger-than-life father would look to be on the verge of collapsing because of me. And I want to hug him. I want to tell him how grateful I am to have him. But first... What? My words get stuck in my throat. And I gulp before I look at Mum. What about your exhibition? I ruined it, didn't I?
Fuck that. I don't need it all my whole career as long as I have you, Bran. I need you to know that.
I hug her then, burying my face in her neck, trembling in her hold. Thank you, Mum.
No. Thank you for coming back to me, hun. Thank you. Thank you.
Dad pats my back, and Glynn leans on my shoulder as she cries softly, her body shaking. And I know, I just know I'll be fine as long as I have them. It'll hurt, but it won't be as painful as hiding myself from them. It's time I properly say the words I should have shouted 8 years ago. I pull away from Mum's embrace and suck in a sharp breath. Mum, Dad, I have something to tell you. anything, son. I think I need help. Please, help me get better. I spent what seems like hours spilling my guts to my parents and Glenn. Everything that I couldn't say before. Everything that I buried in my chest and swallowed down with air. There was a lot of crying and hugs, but I didn't feel sad afterward. No, more like hopeful and light. As if I finally breached the surface of the inky lake I've been drowning in for 8 years. Dad said he's pressing charges of sexual assault of a minor against Grace. And Mum said she'll have her banned from the Arts Council that she currently presides over. She'll have her stripped of her peer title in the House of Lords and drag her through the mud. The thought of courts and a legal process gives me a headache. But I want justice. I want to finally give 15-year-old me what he always wanted. Justice. And hope that one day, he'll forgive me. He'll one day look at me in the mirror and smile, even if only once. I know it'll take time and a fuck ton of therapy, but I can wait. He waited for me to catch up for 8 years. The least I can do is be patient as he leaves the cave I shoved him into for so long. Earlier, I spoke to the therapist the NHS sent me, and it was hard, but I blurted the words out. I want to get better not only for myself, but also for the man I love. The man who's nowhere to be found. Dad told me Nikolai is the reason I'm alive. He's the one who kept the pressure on my neck, as if his life depended on it, and carried me to the car before they drove me here. He stayed for the entire 7 hours of the operation, but apparently he left as soon as they were told I was stable. Thinking about the possibility that he wants nothing to do with me makes me jittery. It's why I did what I did in the first place. The thought of him seeing me differently and hating me gave me that shove over the edge. I stare at Glenn, and she smiles as she cuts me some avocado. Dad is talking to the police. Mom is with the doctors. But my sister refuses to leave my side. I don't suppose you know where my phone is.
Nope, but you can use mine.
She unlocks it and passes it over. Thanks. I type Nikolai's name and call him. The longer the phone rings in my ear, the louder my heart thumps. My chest falls when it goes to voicemail. He doesn't check those, ever. I don't know why he even has the service.
You mean I could remove it?
It's literally what he replied when I asked him that once.
I'm sure he'll come around.
Glenn offers me an encouraging look.
I'll kick his ass if he doesn't. Or maybe, like, send Kill, because he's really scary.
I smile and give her back her phone. The door opens and I look up, hope blossoming in my chest with a force that hurts. But that's the thing about hope. It exists to be crushed. It's not Nikolai who walks in. My disappointment is short-lived, however, when my eyes clash with my identical ones. I gulp, my heart swirling in a puddle of my own humiliating feelings that I confessed to my parents not too long ago. I wanted to ask about Lan, but I didn't dare to. A part of me is relieved that he's here, the part that held on to the fact that he does care, even if everyone said he didn't. His face looks the most distraught I've ever seen. Lan doesn't do emotions. At all. I thought the only exception was Mia. But as I stare at his worn-out gaze and the lines of relief around his eyes, I think maybe I was wrong. You okay? He asks as he stops beside me. His voice isn't right. It's too careful. Too restrained. Definitely does not fit the Lan I knew my entire life. I nod. Glenn, get out, he says.
No.
Her gaze is alarmed as she looks at me. It's okay, I say with a smile. Go. She gives me an unsure glance before she hugs me and narrows her eyes on our brother.
You better not say anything funny, Lan.
He doesn't reply or even look at her. His intense attention remains on me until the door closes behind her, his hand curling and uncurling into a fist. You're going to punch me for daring to hurt your identical twin? I try to joke to break the tension. That only manages to make a vein throb in his neck, nearly popping from the skin. I'd kill for you. I'd shoot myself if that makes you breathe better without me shadowing you. But I'd never, ever hurt you, Bran. My lips part, and I stare at his tight expression and know that he means every word. I was kidding. I breathe out. Don't joke about shit like that. Your life is not a fucking joke. Fuck! His chest rises and falls in heavy succession, and I'm seriously scared he'll pop a vein or have a stroke. I shift in the bed, the injury in my neck burning and itching for some reason. Lan, I'm sorry. The words nearly split me open. It's different to hear that from Mum and Dad or even Glenn, but this is Lan. He never, ever apologizes, not even when he nearly drove Mia away for good. I thought I'd come down from the emotional high, but they rush back to the surface until my own chest is heaving. Our harsh breaths echo in the damn hospital room that witnessed me at my lowest. What are you sorry for? For not pursuing you that night? For thinking it was because of the rumors and letting it go at that? I'm sorry for allowing you to hate me without doing anything about it. I never hated you, Lan. I hated myself, yes, but never you. I release a mock laugh. You were the half I looked at whenever I needed hope. Seeing you being your unapologetic, confident, anarchist self made me believe I'd eventually be okay. You gave me strength, even unknowingly, so you shouldn't apologize. This isn't on you, it's on me. You couldn't have known when I didn't let you in, and I didn't let anyone in. What can I do? He asks with a wretched expression. What can I do to stop you from doing that again? I don't understand emotions, but you do, Bran. You do spectacularly well, and I'm asking, no, I'm begging you to tell me what I can do to make it better. Should I fuck off out of your life? Cut contact? Not visit Mum and Dad while you're there? Will my disappearance stop you from having that nonsensical inferiority complex? That's about the worst thing you can do, Lan. I need you by my side, I always have. Pretending I didn't is what shoved me into that dark hole in the first place. I smile. I never felt happier than when you asked me to teach you empathy. I was proud that you needed me for once. I always needed you, idiot. I used that as an excuse to spend time with you, because you'd made it your mission to avoid me for the past 8 years. I fucking hated that. You were supposed to be the one who understood me best, but you turned your back on me. I'm sorry. Don't apologize. Just stop doing that. Give the middle finger instead. Works so much fucking better. If I do that, will you stop being so agitated? You're starting to creep me out. He expels a long breath and nods once. Come here. I open my arms, and I suspect he'll push me away since he's allergic to showing affection. However, my brother slides right between my arms and hugs me for the first time since that night 8 years ago. He breathes shakily against my shoulder, his hands pressing me so tightly that it actually hurts. But I must be hurting him too. I love you, little bro, he whispers. I need you to know that. I need you to know you're the first person I loved unconditionally and always will. I might annoy you, might act like a dick to get your attention, but that's only because the thought of losing you scares the living fuck out of me. Love you too, Lan. I exhale against his neck, my chest nearly bursting with emotions. We remain like that for what seems like forever, before he reluctantly pulls back. You tell anyone what I said just now, and I'll deny it till the day I die. I got you, bro. Damn straight. His charming smile spills through, and my brother finally returns to sporting his eternal cockiness. Honestly, I wouldn't have him any other way. Hey, Lan, I don't like that tone. What? Since we're sharing our feelings, Lord, no. Please, no. What is it now? I think you know already since, well, you went to the States and, Nikolai was there. Point is, I love him and I want to be with him if he'll let me. I blurt out the last part so fast, I'm not sure if he hears it. And if he does, whether or not he understands a word I've said. Why the fuck wouldn't he let you? He lifts his nose up with an air of arrogance. The peasant should be honored and worship at your feet for you even looking in his direction. You're okay with it? I don't like the idea of anyone taking you away, let alone that distasteful brute. But I guess I can try to tolerate him for your and Mia's sake. Thanks. My heart beats faster. Despite his violent exterior, he's really a teddy bear deep down, you know. A golden retriever through and through. He's extremely affectionate and respectful, and makes sure I'm comfortable and happy. What type of voodoo did he use on my control freak brother? More importantly, why did it have to be him? You're allergic to violence, and I'm pretty sure he's illiterate. Lan! I'll have you know he has a 4.15 GPA. Don't make fun of his intelligence again, or I'll be really cross with you. Jesus Christ! You're defending him! Get used to it. I won't allow you or anyone else to insult him. Wow. Okay. Bring down the protectiveness a notch. It's revolting. No, deal with it. My good mood slowly withers as I clear my throat. Can I use your phone to call him? There's no need. He was with me and is currently waiting outside your room like a moping wanker. He stands up. I'll fetch him for you. Fire spreads through my chest, and for some reason it's hard to swallow, but I nod anyway. Even if that nagging feeling remains. What if he doesn't want to see me? What if Lan forces him? My brother stops at the door. One more thing. Yeah. Please tell me you top the motherfucker. I let my lips curve into a smile as I shake my head. Lan's face falls and he looks like he's on the verge of a heart attack. Bloody fucking hell! He throws the door open and then shouts, Nikolai, you fucking wank! Come here! There's a bit of a commotion, and I'm scared they're fighting. I stand up from the bed and grab the IV drip, but before I can move, a presence that's larger than life is shoved into my room. Lan winks at me before he closes the door, trapping me with Nikolai. My hand slowly falls to my side as I study him. He's in different jeans and t-shirt from the ones he wore last night. His hair is tied into a ponytail, and his face is... Fuck. Anguish and displeasure wore into a tight knot. His lips are pursed, and his eyes are dark and enraged. But at least they're not empty. I can deal with rage. One problem. He's not looking at me. Not once has he looked at me since he walked in. His gaze is fixed on the floor, and both hands are shoved in his pockets. Nikolai. A harsh breath rolls out of his expanded chest, his jaw clenching and his biceps tightening, causing the tattoos to ripple. Are you going to look at me anytime soon? Or do you prefer to stay outside? He lifts his head and the words are cut off in my throat. The fear and rage that lingers in his eyes leave me speechless, completely taken in by him.
How could you?
He strides toward me, his voice vibrating with fear instead of anger.
How could you try to leave me? Don't you know I can't live without you anymore?
The moment he's within reach, I take his hand in mine. The feel of his skin is like a shot of dopamine right through my veins. I'm sorry. I thought you'd find me weak and revolting. The idea of you seeing me differently haunts me, Nikolai. I don't want to lose you.
But you're okay with me losing you? I'm a shell without you, Bran.
He drags my hand to him and slams it against his chest.
This thing only beats for you, and because of you. I used to live an aimless life where adrenaline was my god. But you came along and tamed my demons. You balance me. You complete me. You're fucking in me. So seeing you bleeding out on the floor was no different than watching myself die. No, it was worse. I've never felt so scared for my life, but you. You're my everything. How could you do that to me? To us?
I'm so sorry. The last thing I want is to hurt you.
Don't apologize. Tell me you won't do it again. Promise me.
I promise, Nico. Never again. I'll do everything in my capacity to get better. I'll go to therapy and pick myself apart to be strong enough to deserve you. Just don't leave me. Please.
Not even if you beg for it. I love you, Lotus Flower. And that means I'll be by your side during all of your battles with your demons. I'll kill them for you if you let me. I'll listen to them if you want me to. But I'll never leave you. So, you're stuck with me.
I stroke his cheek over the stubble and try to stop my heart from bursting into flames. You're the one who stuck with me. There's no one on this earth who's able to understand and love me like you do. It's why I gravitated towards you without even noticing. Falling for you was effortless and final. I thought I was unworthy of you. I fought myself to be with you, but it was pointless. I never loved myself the way I love you, baby. That beautiful grin breaks through the pain, and I can feel my heart soaring.
Does that mean you're mine now?
I think I always have been.
Thank you for coming back to me, baby.
Thank you for never giving up on me, Nico. And then I let him feel how grateful I am by pressing my lips to his. The first kiss of our new life together. Epilogue 1. Brandon. 6 months later. Stay still, I chastise, pushing Nikolai's hand off my waist. He groans and his palm lands back on my hip like a rubber band.
This is fucking torture.
I flick my brush over the ridge of his pectoral muscle, careful not to get red paint on the lotus flower. My thin strokes slowly transform into the image of his necklace, painting the bullet on his skin, then drawing the chain so it's wrapped around it in the shape of a lotus flower. And just to mess with him, I make shallow strokes over his nipple. The sexy rumble beneath my fingers has me biting my lower lip to suppress my own noises of pleasure. He's effortlessly the most attractive specimen to ever walk the earth. Beautiful in his confidence, loud in his assertiveness, and absolutely hot-headed in his loyalty. Every day I wake up to his stunning face and thank all gods and religions for putting him in my path. I never believed in fate until this mountain of a man flipped my world upside down and made me love every second of it. Our journey hasn't been easy, far from it, but he stood with me every step of the way. He was there when Dad broke the news that Grace committed suicide in her bath and left a note in which she confessed what she did and asked Mum and me for forgiveness. My mother replied to that by having her disgraced in the art circuit and permanently removed from the Art Council's Hall of Fame. She was also stripped of her peer title. A part of me was happy for that outcome. At least that meant justice took place without having to drag myself into court. Though I never really wanted her to die, I'm not mourning her either. I mourned myself, which is why the next difficult part was finally getting help. Therapy is good, but it's hard. The most important part is that it's working, but I'm not deluded enough to think I could have done this on my own. I'm lucky to have the most loving and understanding parents, friends who lift me up, an adorably supportive sister, and even Lan. My twin brother is finally my twin again, after 8 years of playing hide-and-seek with each other. He'll never be mushy or emotional, but he'll always be my brother, a part of him, as he often reminds me. We finally have each other as other half on our contacts. However, the process wouldn't have been possible without the man standing in front of me. The way he held me through it all, while dealing with his own issues, made the entire thing worth it. Nikolai lets me see him on his bad days, the days where he can't stay still, where he paces and chain smokes and is unable to sleep. But that's not much different from when he's on a violent spree. And the best part, he really, really wears me out during those days. Physically, not emotionally. He can't keep his hands off me and pulls me into dark corners so we can do filthy things to each other. Not that I'm complaining. I love it when he gets rough. He says I calm his demons down, and that's the best compliment he can give me, especially since he's the main reason I'm able to battle my own demons. Other times, when he thinks his mind gets too out of control, he takes the pills and they're, well, I don't like them. They kill the light in his eyes and turn him into a lethargic zombie who moves like a robot, talks with no intonation, and refuses to leave the house. He doesn't smile, not even at me, and looks fucking depressed. I immediately took his dad's side on that and told him to ditch them. But Nikolai is seriously creeped out about the prospect of hurting me, which has never happened.
Once is enough, baby,
he told me with that wretched expression.
I'd never be able to live with myself if I even accidentally hurt you, touched you too hard, or pushed you too much. I'd rather slash my own soul in half than do that to you.
The fear in his gaze back then broke my heart, possibly because that was coming from Nikolai, who, according to his dad, refused the very notion of the pills early on. But he embraced them for me. We spoke to his doctor, and he said there's a possibility of a new medicine that's able to put the manic episodes under control without murdering his soul in the process. We're in the testing stage, and he's only used them once, but I like them much better. At least they enable him to look at me without looking through me. He's just less playful, which is something I can live with once in a while. And really, in the last 6 months, he's had episodes exactly 4 times. One was a fuckfest. The second and third were zombie-like due to the ludicrous pills. But the fourth was a mixture of both. And I'm good with that. He was also happy about it and came down from his high in the span of 2 days. In the beginning, when he felt himself spiraling, he'd send me a text.
My mind is turning up in volume. I'm getting bad. Maybe you should visit your parents for a week or so. Just stay away from me, baby.
No way in hell was I doing that. But he still tried to convince me to stay away the second time. Again, didn't happen. If anything, I quit everything just to be by his side, like he's always glued to mine. And I told him that. I told him a relationship is being there for each other through the good and the bad. I won't take while he gives. That's not how this works. The third and fourth time, he learned his lesson and his text changed in tone.
I'm getting bad. I need you, baby.
They were the most endearing texts he's ever sent, and I never felt happier than when he started to depend on me and be openly vulnerable with me. It's only fair after he saw me at my lowest and picked me up, literally and figuratively. He sneakily slides his hand on my waist beneath my shirt. A map of goosebumps erupts where his fingers stroke the skin at a rhythmic pace. It doesn't matter how long we've been together or how often he touches me, which is a lot. Whenever I'm with him, my body, heart, and soul hum with uncontainable energy. The need to touch him is constant, vibrant, and gets more intense with time. But right now, it's about the worst circumstance for that. Nikolai, I warn.
Yes, baby?
Stop acting like an impatient toddler and remove your hand.
But it's not fair that you're touching me and I'm not touching you.
Behave, or you won't get your prize.
Fuck no. Kolya and I are thirsty for the prize.
He rolls his hips and tugs me against him with a pull on my drawstrings. My cock bursts to life, standing to attention when it grazes against his. I have to lift the brush in the air so I don't ruin what I've been working on for the past hour. I slide my palette on his desk and sneak my fingers through his hair. It's longer now, brushing against his shoulders in a glorious fashion. I'm positively and irrevocably obsessed with it, so I might have forbidden him from cutting it. He enjoys the attention a bit too much and leans into my palm as he rubs our dicks in a sensual rhythm. Despite my sweatpants and his shorts, I grow hard in an instant. I tug on his hair. Who's the one who asked me to sketch him new tattoos to fill in the gaps?
You can do that after you give me my prize.
I'll lose my flow.
You can sketch me up while I'm inside you, baby. I'm starving to feel your ass clenching around my cock as you beg me to fuck you harder.
Jesus, that mouth of yours requires urgent intervention.
You know you're aching for it. Brand Jr. demands a meeting with Kolya.
You seriously need to stop giving names to dicks.
Not all dicks, just yours and mine.
He strokes his fingers along my V-line, eliciting a sharp intake of air from deep in my throat.
I can give you a prize first and choke on your cock. You love it when you fuck my mouth while pulling on my hair. You have this look of ownership all over your face when you stare down at me with those fuck me eyes and fill my throat with your cum.
Jesus fucking Christ.
I'll take that as a yes.
His breath fans my lips, a mixture of honey and whiskey from the drink he had earlier with his dad. Speaking of which, I jerk him back with immeasurable control. Cut it out. We're heading down for dinner with your parents.
They can wait a bit more.
Not a chance. I don't want to make a bad impression.
Ugh, baby, are you kidding? They're fucking in love with you. More than that tool land, for sure.
Still don't want to risk it. His lips pull in an evil smirk.
You really love being labeled as the one who tamed the wild Nico by my mom and sisters, don't you?
What can I say? I welcome the expression.
You're so full of shit.
Kyle, Jeremy, Gareth, your Aunt Raina, and even Kill should be added to the list of people who've used that expression.
You look proud of that.
It's because I am. I stroke his hair and speak an inch away from his lips. I love having a special place in your life. It turns me on.
I'm so going to fuck you.
He growls and is about to close the barely existent space between us when a knock comes on his bedroom door. Nico, his dad's voice filters through. Are you decent or am I going to be exposed to your shenanigans?
Go, Dad. I'm more indecent than a hooker on Satan's lap.
He yells as I push him away with a scowl and go to open the door while adjusting my erection. With a few breaths, I manage to feel somewhat normal. I smile at Kyle, who's in the process of shaking his head. Ever since I graduated from uni, I've been working on my paintings while continuing to live at the penthouse with Nikolai. We were practically living together anyway. Soon after, he brought me to meet his parents for the first time, and I came to a very stunning realization. Nikolai has the most beautiful relationship with his mum and dad. Rai calls him her little miracle. Kyle is more than just his father. He's his close friend and his confidant, and I often overhear Nikolai talking to him on the phone whenever he's in or out of his off phase. Appearance-wise, Kyle is leaner but has a sharper look in his blue eyes. He's well-built and often wears designer suits that give him a sophisticated edge. What I love about him, Aside from being raised in the UK, and therefore having a very British sense of humour, is how much he's 100% behind all his children. In that department, he reminds me a bit of my dad, who's definitely Team Nikolai now. He never really hated him, but after he saved me during that black day, Dad gained an immense sense of respect for my man. At this point, only Killian is falling behind on the popularity vote in the King household. Oh. Kyle looks at us and releases a breath. I thought I was intruding.
You were.
Nikolai appears beside me, pouting like a child.
Cock Blocker of the Year award goes to the almighty Kyle Hunter.
Nikolai, I elbow him. Kyle, however, doesn't seem fazed and even raises an eyebrow. Seems adequate. Finally some revenge for all the cock-blocking you indulged in during your toddler years.
I was literally a toddler. Get over it.
And your junior years and preteen years, he counts on one hand. Teenage years and uni years. Should I keep counting?
I can't believe this.
Nikolai throws his hands in the air.
Hello, petty police. I'm reporting my dad.
Lock me the fuck up.
I might withdraw the charges if you just go away fucking now, please.
I smile at their bickering. They have the most comical relationship I've ever witnessed, and they're just great fun to be around. Your mum and sisters are waiting for you for dinner. You'll have to delay your plans for later. He looks at me with a soft smile. I apologize for his unruly behavior.
Dad!
What? You've had him locked in here for hours.
More like he's had me locked up and I didn't even get my prize.
He mutters like a kicked puppy. I'm really okay, I tell Kyle.
Hey, Dad.
He nudges him.
Do it.
Do what?
That thing we talked about.
I stare between them as Kyle actually rolls his eyes. Do I have to?
Come on, I've been asking you for months.
Fine. His eyes meet mine as he exhales. This is ridiculous. My ears prickle, and I feel the heat rising to them. What's going on? Bran, I need to ask you a very serious question. I straighten, all humor disappearing. Anything. What do you like about my twat of a son?
The twat part didn't need to be there.
Nikolai pushes his dad teasingly. I also didn't need to ask that very silly question when you're already together.
His dad did it. I wanted you to do it as well.
My chuckle breaks their banter, and I clear my throat. I like that he oozes confidence. Too much so sometimes. I like that he's fiercely loyal, intensely protective, and loves with every fiber of his being. I like that he never fakes his actions or his emotions. What you see is literally what you get. But most of all, I love that he loves me. A shit-eating grin covers Nikolai's face, and I smile back, not even embarrassed by saying all that out loud. That was actually very touching, Kyle says, then nudges his son with a foot. Happy now?
Very. Now go away, Dad. Seriously, or I'll be sleeping on your goddamn bedroom floor later.
5 minutes, Nico, he says over his shoulder. And put a shirt on.
No way in hell,
he shouts back and leans over for a kiss. But I pull away and his lips land on my throat, trailing kisses and nibbling on my Adam's apple.
Baby, please, you can't say shit like that and expect me not to fuck you.
Not happening. Everyone downstairs will know we're having sex. He pulls back with a small pout, muttering,
fine,
before he trudges to the bathroom, probably to wash his hands. I know I'm supposed to go downstairs first, but I'm notoriously weak to his adorable pouts. So I follow after him and stop when I'm behind him as he dries his hands. I meet my reflection in the mirror and swallow past the sensation crawling up my throat. It's not nausea, it's awareness. I can finally look at myself in the mirror without feeling the need to smash it to pieces. I still haven't been able to smile at myself like the therapist has been urging me to. It just feels weird. Tattooed arms wrap around my waist from behind before Nikolai's chin rests on my shoulder. I didn't even notice when he changed position and slipped behind me.
"You're the most beautiful thing on earth,"
he whispers against my neck, peppering kisses there as he meets my gaze in the mirror.
"I'm lucky you allowed me in your life."
Kiss.
"I'm lucky you love me."
Kiss.
"I'm lucky you're letting me fight your demons with you."
My heart crawls its way to my throat, and I have to swallow down the burst of emotions to remain standing. What the hell did I do to deserve this man? "I'm the one who's lucky to have you, baby." I unlock his arms from around me, turn and face him. "I was supposed to give you this present later tonight, but you're making it impossible to hold it in." I tug my shirt free and his grin returns.
"You going to give me my prize anyway?"
His words trail off, and his lips part when he sees the actual reason why I removed my t-shirt. "What do you think?" His fingers ghost over the elegant sans serif font I had tattooed on my heart, like where he got the tattoo for me. This is the first and last tattoo I'll ever get, since I'm absolutely not a fan of pricking my skin anymore. But I had to ink him on the heart that beats because he exists.
"You had Nico's lotus flower tattooed on your chest?"
"Not on my chest." I take his hand in mine and press it on the skin. My heart.
"Fuck me."
In a good or bad way.
"I fucking love you, baby."
He kisses my lips long and hard.
"I can't believe you have a tattoo."
"For you."
"For me."
He repeats with raging possessiveness. "Hey, Nico."
"Hmm?"
"Remember when we met that little girl in the park? And you asked me what I whispered back to her?"
"You said it was a secret."
He grumbles. "I told her I don't need help, because I'm in love with you." His lips pull in the most contagious smile. I love being the reason behind his happiness. I love that I'm the only one in the world who has this effect on him.
"Remember when you told me to tell you something in Russian?"
"You said I was cute."
"No. I said, I can't live without you. And we take that quite literally in Russia."
"Aw, Nikolai."
"Point is, I love the loving fuck out of you, baby."
"I love the loving fuck out of you, too." He wraps his arms around me and lifts me up with sheer force until my feet leave the floor. I'm laughing and trying to push him away as he spins me around and kisses my chest, my collarbone, my throat, everywhere. I continue laughing even as I look in the mirror, because for the first time, I don't see a lonely boy there. I don't even see the healing 24-year-old version of me. For the first time, I don't see the past or the present. I see my future with the most infuriating enigma. The most chaotic person on earth, and the love of my fucking life.
Epilogue 2. Nikolai. 2 years later.
"Baby!" Everyone, and I mean every single person in the hall, looks back at me. Some laugh, others stab me with their elite, snobbish expressions, and many shake their heads, including Levi and that fucker Landon. He's most definitely in the glaring category. I swear to fuck, if it weren't for Bran and Mia getting between us, we would have ripped each other's throats out a long time ago. Anyway, the people here don't matter. I couldn't give one single flying fuck about any judgmental, patronizing eyes, because the only person who matters faces me with a grin so wide I nearly go into cardiac arrest. Ah, fuck. Fuck me.
He's suited up in the most flattering, flawless tuxedo that showcases his lithe, fit body. His hair is styled in his gorgeous Prince Charming look, and his eyes are so bright, I'm positively drowning in their depths. Sometimes I look at him and think I'm floating in an alternate reality. Sometimes he whispers he loves me before he falls asleep in my arms, and I spend the entire night watching his face just to make sure it's true. He's real. We are real. In what world did someone like me end up with someone like him? No fucking clue, but I'll take it. All day, any day. There's no way in fuck I'll ever let him go. Not after our lives have become so intertwined that I can't breathe properly unless he's beside me. It's why the past week was fucking torture. I graduated this summer and had to go back to the States for my new role in the Bratva. As much as I wanted to delay it, Jeremy has been waiting too long for me, and I can't just leave my bro behind. But I was rethinking the whole fucking thing the first night I slept without my lotus flower hugging me. The second night, I nearly spiraled into that black hole lurking in my mind and went back to smoking. So yeah, I quit smoking a year and a half ago since I refused the very notion of causing my brand any form of health hazard, namely the stupid secondhand smoke. Besides, he helped me all the way through it. Just kidding, when it got a bit too much and I craved a smoke, he became his pragmatic, stern self and announced a ban. Either I'd touch him or a cigarette. I quit within the week, thank you very fucking much. My recent trip to the States felt like a redo of that time. No, it was much worse since I couldn't even see him. We spoke on the phone for hours, despite the time difference, and he didn't hang up until I actually drifted off to sleep. I don't want to ever, and I mean ever, get used to the feeling of sleeping in an empty bed. I prefer the bed where he pulls my head against his chest and strokes my hair until I fall asleep. A bed where I can hug him from behind and kiss his nape as we drift off. This past week's experience is just not happening anymore. Bran couldn't come with me because of this award ceremony he was attending for winning some important art shit. Don't ask me what it is. It has a stupid, complicated title. All I know is that my man is a fucking genius who broke the internet with his viral videos and the art people's souls with his work. It started as a joke when I once filmed him so concentrated on work while he was wearing just shorts and painting me. People went crazy about that, especially after they saw the final result. Since then, I've been taking sneaky videos of him all the time, and he's gotten so many fucking deals because of that. And awards, many of those too. He's now as well known in the art community as his psycho brother, which should have been the case from the beginning, just saying. I know Bran doesn't like attention, but there's no one in the whole fucking world who deserves it more than him. He's so dedicated, disciplined, and a ridiculous perfectionist. He deserved that solo exhibition he had 2 months ago more than anyone. It was a smashing success and the best I've seen. Not that I've seen that many. Only the ones he and his mom participate in. Sometimes he drags me to Land's exhibitions, and I go just to talk shit about that psycho. Anyway, this one was special, and not only because it was his first solo. Most of his paintings were of me and my tattoos. But the center painting, the one that I begged Dad to spend over £1 million from my trust fund on just so I could have it for myself forever, is my favorite. I still have it as my lock screen. It's the one painting he couldn't finish all those years ago. The one where I'm standing, and he's leaning against my shoulder. He finally managed to draw his own face, and this time, he's fucking smiling. Never giving that painting up. We'll probably have to put a request in my will to bury it with me so that when I meet Satan, I can tell him all about my lotus flower. Speaking of whom, he abandons his company of hotshot art people who either love me for the way he depicts me or can't stand my rowdy, brutally honest, beautiful self. As Bran walks toward me, I'm once again hit with that inability to believe he's with me. My heart is so full of him, it's about to burst. I missed him so fucking much, I have to stop myself from kissing him because it definitely wouldn't stop there. Something tells me the snobs wouldn't appreciate me shoving him against the wall and letting Kolya and Bran Jr. say hi to each other. Chill, Kolya, dude. Your future parents-in-law are here.
You made it.
He breathes, his smile blinding the fuck out of me. Wouldn't miss it for the world.
But there was a storm on the East Coast. Please don't tell me you did something reckless to get here.
Reckless is my middle name. But in this case, I couldn't have done anything even if I'd wanted to. We had to get the okay to fly. Took off as soon as I could. I pointed the award in his hand. I'm sorry I wasn't here for the actual ceremony.
You're here now. That's all that matters.
Congrats, baby. Because I have to touch him, I wrap my hand around his nape and stroke the side of his neck. He pushes the award into my hand and forces me to grab it as he shakes his head.
We did it. I would have never been able to do this without you, baby.
You were born for great things and would have been able to do this whether or not I was here.
No, I wouldn't. You're the reason I even want those great things. Remember?
I nod and kiss the top of his head, lingering for a second to sniff his gorgeous hair. I missed you so fucking much. Totally not flying without you by my side anymore. He fixes my crooked bow tie, a small smile tugging on his lips. He's always fixing me up, my lotus flower, whether physically or emotionally. He still likes to nag, too, but it's music to my ears at this point. The day he stops nagging is the day he stops caring.
You better not leave me again. I couldn't sleep without you.
What the fuck? You told me to stop being a baby every night we spoke on the phone.
Well, I didn't want to stress you out. That doesn't mean it was any easier for me, you know.
You're totally coming to the States with me, or I'm staying here. Jeremy and Vaughn will kill me, but it's a price I'm willing to pay.
I told you I'll come over. I can work from anywhere.
Thank fuck. He interlinks my fingers with his.
Want to get out of here?
Fuck yes. I'm about to haul him away so I can kiss him, but he presses his chest to mine and devours my lips in a searing, passionate kiss. In front of the whole world. His whole world. If anyone had told me about this scene a couple of years back, I would have called them a borderline liar. But my lotus flower can't seem to get enough of me as much as I can't get enough of him. Before I can deepen the kiss, he pulls back, putting a halt to Kolya's diabolical plan. So I drag him behind me, pushing through the bodies of people, desperate to get him alone. Bran drives us to his parents' house, which we'll probably have to ourselves for a while before his parents and Glynn come back, bringing the other psychos Landon and Kill along. During the entire ride, I'm kissing Bran's throat, nibbling on his Adam's apple, undoing his bow tie, and unbuttoning his shirt to leave hickeys on his collarbone. The perfect image he loves so well shatters against my tongue and fingers as he moans my name and groans his pleasure. My lotus flower is the most unbothered driver you'll ever find. He never gets his feathers ruffled, never gets mad, never drives recklessly. But even he has to stop the car on the side of the road, and I haul him onto my lap so that Kolya can say hi. The dry-humping session comes to a halt, though, because he can't have us getting arrested for indecency, despite his car having tinted windows. The only reason I stop is because I don't want a quickie in the car. I need to feast on him properly after a week of being deprived of him. Don't get me wrong, I love the phone sex, the filthy texts, and the dick pics he sent occasionally, after I bombarded him with 1,000 pics of Kolya weeping in agony. But the real thing is better by fucking miles. As soon as we're inside the house, I slam my lips to his, both of us stumbling as he shoves me against the wall, his tongue demanding and warring with mine. I reverse our positions so that he's against the wall, our bodies pressed together from the dick up.
I missed you so much. You have no idea.
He breathes against my lips.
You're never getting out of my sight again.
Never again, baby. I speak against his throat, trailing my tongue and lips against his throbbing pulse and the faint scar from when I nearly lost him forever. He's come so far since then. He's gotten so much better at dealing with his emotions, has learned to forgive himself, and even smile at his image in the mirror. That didn't stop the control freak tendencies, though. That's a personality trait, one I love just like he secretly loves my reckless behavior sometimes. He doesn't try to change me and embraces me the way I am. He doesn't care who I have to maim as long as I don't get hurt in the process. That's when he loses it. I kid you not, once Kill threw a lighter at my head since he loves hitting me with random shit. Bran threw it back at his head and told him point blank not to hit me anymore or he wouldn't stand for it. Did I fall in love with him a bit deeper after that? Possibly. Bran shudders and his hands wrap around me, one gripping my waist and the other pulling my hair free as he throws his head against the wall with a throaty groan. I inhale him into my lungs and keep him there, citrus and fucking mine. Bed, now, I growl against his fully marked neck, and the best part, he doesn't hide my hickeys anymore. If anything, he loves leaving some of his own, too.
Can't have you running around and attracting unwanted attention. The world needs to know who you belong to.
Is what he tells me every time.
I have to show you something first.
He pants and leads me down the hall. Can't I wait? I wrap my arms around him from behind, matching his steps as I kiss his neck. It's awkward and definitely not fun to walk in this position, but Bran doesn't complain and even gives me access to his throat, moaning when I nibble on his Adam's apple.
Baby, stop.
His voice trembles as he pushes the door open. You can't call me baby and ask me to stop. I'm so going to devour the fuck out of you.
Oh, Nikolai.
Hmm?
Focus, please.
Give me a sec.
Nikolai!
What? I lift my head, slightly annoyed that he's stopping me when we're both burning for this. As if that's not blasphemous enough, he pulls away and faces me. That's when I realize we're inside his stupid home studio. Not going to lie, ever since he nearly bled out on this floor, I've been kind of traumatized and would rather not come here unless it's absolutely necessary. Good thing we live on the island, and whenever we visit his parents, he's not in the mood to work. Now, however, he thrusts me back into this ominous place, and even Kolya's legendary libido is shrinking as images of that day play in my head. It was a long time ago, and we've come to terms with it. I even went to therapy with him for it. But no amount of therapy will erase the feeling of I'm losing him that beat into my skull as I held his unresponsive body on the floor while his life essence poured out of him in sickening red. But now, as he stands in front of me in his rumpled suit and with his glittery smile, those images slowly disappear. He's here. He'll always be fucking here. He came back for me. For us. What did you want to show me? I ask with a note of sarcasm. What's so important that you chose violence, aka cock-blocking us both for it? He clears his throat.
I thought since now we'll be starting the next chapter of our lives and moving to a new place, we'll need a painting for it.
I already have my favorite painting of yours. I pull out my phone and show him the lock screen. This is going in the living room so that it's the first thing everyone sees. A look of adoration crosses his features.
In that case, let's put this one in the bedroom then.
He pulls on a sheet that's covering a canvas, revealing a stunning piece of work. And it's not about the sharp details or earth-shattering beauty of what his hands are capable of. It's the scene he chose to paint. Him sitting on my lap, while I'm wearing the yellow stitch mask. And he didn't paint his own mask. It's from the first night we met, the night after which I couldn't purge him from my mind even if I wanted to. His expression in the painting isn't what I saw back then. I thought he was embarrassed or humiliated, but through his own eyes, he looks intrigued, confused, and most of all, aroused. Wow, I breathe out. Actually glad he showed me this before the fuck fest that will totally happen in a few. This is... wow.
You like it?
I fucking love it, baby. Look at all those details. I step closer to take a better look. Definitely going in the bedroom. Don't want anyone to see that expression on your face. It's only for me. He chuckles, the sound light and contagious. I smile back. Why this scene, though?
It's the night I developed a crush on you. I thought it came afterward, but no. I was definitely intrigued by you from the beginning. I wanted to keep that feeling alive forever through this painting.
You did such an awesome job. Man, now I don't know which one I want on my lock screen. What do you think? I trail off when I face my lotus flower, and he's on one fucking knee. What the?
That scene was our beginning, as unglamorous as it was. No matter how scared I was of you and everything you presented, I wouldn't have it any other way. You're the purest, most passionate soul I've ever met. You loved me when I didn't even like myself. You held me together when I was falling apart, and helped me put myself back together one piece at a time until I became the man I am today.
He reaches into his jacket and pulls out a dark blue velvet box, then opens it to show two rings.
I love you more than words can describe, and I'll be honored if you choose to spend the rest of your life with me so I can give back a fraction of what you've given me. Nikolai Sokolov, would you marry me?
The words aren't fully out of his mouth when I fall to my knees in front of him and drag his lips to mine, kissing him like a fucking madman until I'm lost in him and he's breathing my air. He wrenches his lips back but seals his forehead to mine.
Is that a yes?
Fuck yes, baby. I'll marry the fuck out of you and make you my husband today if you want. His grin nearly blinds me as he slips the ring onto my finger. The inside is engraved with a fucking lotus flower and NXB.
Good.
He lifts my hand to his mouth and kisses my knuckles over the ring. I'm supposed to be the one who proposes. I grumble while slipping his ring onto his finger. I hate you for beating me to this.
You pursued me in the beginning. I had to be the one who proposed first.
I glide my hand across his nape and pull his forehead to mine again. His fingers stroke my hair as we breathe each other in. This is the happiest moment of my life, and I want to soak in it for as long as possible. The rest of our lives, huh, baby? He nods, lips curling into the most gorgeous smile.
The rest of our lives, baby.
I wouldn't have it with anyone but you. My mouth reaches for his and I kiss him slower this time, taking my fill of him. I love this man with everything I have and don't have. I love him with my sane and insane parts. He's my lotus flower, my prince charming, the love of my life, mine. The end.
This marks the end of God of Fury. You can check out the audiobooks of the couples that appeared in this book. Killian Carson and Glyndon King, God of Malice. Kyle Hunter and Rai Sokolov, Throne Duet. Levi and Astrid King, Cruel King. For more news about future audiobook releases, please visit renakent.com. Thank you for listening to God of Fury, Legacy of Gods, Book 5, written by Rena Kent and narrated by Shane East, Teddy Hamilton, Mackenzie Cartwright, and Zara Hampton Brown. Text copyright 2023 by Rena Kent. Production copyright 2023 by Rena Kent. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.